Please turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah 6 opens with the people of Judah doing their own thing. They're pursuing material things, building their house and accumulating wealth. They're giving themselves to idols. They were so consumed by selfishness that they had no regard for God's word, even though they were diligent in performing various religious rituals. Their selfishness led to greed, which included taking advantage of other people so that they could accumulate more. And in taking advantage of people, they were taking advantage of the elderly. They were taking advantage of the weak, the poor, and the alien. They were so self-deluded that they were saying, "Peace, peace," when there was no peace. As a matter of fact, it was a time of great turmoil. Just a bit of historical background for this time setting in Jeremiah 6. And by the way, during the book of Jeremiah, decades pass chronologically. But Jeremiah 6, Josiah is king of Judah. That's the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom has already been taken into slavery by Assyria. Judah didn't learn its lesson from the northern kingdom, and Judah was a mess in a lot of different ways. This was during the time of the prophets, of course, Jeremiah and Zephaniah. This is chronologically, historically speaking, this is the time of 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings. Nahum, the prophet Nahum, is about to come onto the scene. Psalm 81 was written about this time. Various authors are presented for Psalm 81. The prophet Habakkuk is going to show up in about 10 to 15 years. And let me just stop right here. About the time of Jeremiah 6, there are four guys we know from another context who are born about this time. Daniel and his three friends are born about the time of Jeremiah chapter 6. Just a little bit of historical perspective. So before we look at Jeremiah 6, let's pray. Father God, it's good for us to be here. Thank you for the beautiful weather that you've blessed us with so that we can have these outdoor services and we can gather together. People can come who don't come when we're inside. And Lord, we're grateful that they can be here. We're grateful for the visitors that are here with us today. And thank you that we've been so welcoming towards people and pray that we will continue to be that. But Father, thank you that characteristically we are a people who have given ourselves to your word. Father, help us to know it, to read it, to study it, to meditate on it. But help us not only to know it, help us to live it. Help us to apply it to our everyday life. And Lord, change us by the preaching of your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So look at Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. What a tragic verse. What a promising verse. But what a tragic end. Let's go to the crossroads and let's take a look back. Let's look back. Let's consider the Word of God. Let's consider for 32 years the Word of God that we have lived. Let's consider it and let's consider, let's keep walking this way. And the people said, nope, we're not going to. Well, 32 years is hardly ancient, but it's good for us as a body of Christ followers to take a look back at where we've been and make sure we're still walking on the right path. Look at verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it. We cannot neglect God's word or abandon God's word as Judah has done. They had a form of religion like 2 Timothy 3:15 speaks of, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. And listen to this, these words of Jesus from Matthew 15, 8 and 9, where he actually quotes the prophet Isaiah. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. How important it is that we gather on Sundays and we give our attention to the Word of God, to the preaching and teaching of God's Word. That is important, but how much more important that Monday through Saturday we live that Word of God, that we've been challenged with from the Word of God. And this is why we look back to the ancient paths. This is where we've walked, and by God's grace, this is where we will continue to walk. Look at verse 27. I'm not going to read it. Look at verse 27 and notice that it speaks of discernment. And this discernment leads to a judgment which goes against 2020 sensibilities. Because 2020 sensibilities, we aren't supposed to judge anybody. We're not supposed to hold anybody accountable to any standard. And you say, well, isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7? Don't judge. No, if you go read Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, don't judge unless you've examined your own heart first. But once you've examined your heart, then make sure you judge a righteous judgment. Look at verse 28. They are stubbornly rebellious. And this rebellion is manifested through their mouth, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. They were slanderers. They were slandering the people who are living righteously. These slanderers, these rebels, they're acting right. But their heart isn't right. As a matter of fact, their heart is corrupt. So verse 30, the Lord has rejected them. And if you look at this, who has the Lord rejected? It's interesting because he's rejected the people who had gathered in the temple. They were people who said one thing but did another. They went to the temple to appear religious, but their heart wasn't right. So look at chapter 7. Look at verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. These people came to worship. Their heart wasn't right. And what does the Lord say to them? Verse 5, he says, amend your ways. He says to them, repent. He calls them to repentance. It's not enough to do the right things. We need a right heart. So look at verse 5. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, do not oppress the fatherless, do not oppress the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Now, this promise isn't ours to claim as far as a land, but the principles related to honoring the Lord and to obedience have always resulted in God's blessing and approval. Look at verse 23. But this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. Please turn in your Bibles. Leave a finger in Jeremiah, but please turn to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Psalm 81 was written during Josiah's reign, and we see an emphasis on worship in Psalm 81. We're not going to look at the entire psalm. I really just want to point out a couple of verses. Please feel free to go read the entire thing this afternoon or whenever at your convenience. But look, Psalm 81, look at verse 1. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song. Sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp. I praise the Lord that singing music has always been a valuable part of our worship together. It's a joy, and sitting in the front row as I usually do, it's a joy to sometimes stop singing myself and to just listen to you. And it encourages my heart. It blesses my heart. We're to sing these songs to ourselves and to one another. And this is what the psalmist says. But look at verse 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. The picture is exactly what you think it is. We've all seen baby birds in a nest, not big enough to fly. And a parent bird comes back, and those baby birds open their mouth, and the parent bird regurgitates into the baby's mouth whatever it is found to eat. God says, listen, all you have to do is open your mouth and I will fill it. What a great word picture. But look at verse 11. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. We have to shake our head and say, you've got to be kidding. God promised them everything. He promised them everything. All they had to do was open their mouth and receive God's word, respond in worship and obedience, and they said no. Look at verse 13. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. So God says to Israel, and God says to us, well, there's an understood if in verse 13. Oh, that my people, if my people, an understood if here, if my people will turn and look at me, if my people will follow me, and look how they respond to the Lord. Or in verse 16, but he would feed you. If they would respond, this is what he will do. He would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. If you turn to me, I will feed you with the finest that there is. All you have to do is turn to me. Now, please turn to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, please. It's interesting as God calls to the people, listen to me, look at me, expectantly wait for me to feed you, worship me, follow me, and they disregard God and what he has called them to do. You remember what we call the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. There's a tremendous promise that Jesus gives. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. This is the promise of the book of Jeremiah, and this is the insinuation in Psalm 81. And look at Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. God promises an eternal love for Israel. By this point, the prophet is talking about the combined kingdoms, north and south, Israel and Judah, and he promises he will love them with an eternal love. Look at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. I think I mentioned this in the second family chat last week. I'm not sure I did in the first one that was out back here. But this shepherd analogy that we see consistently throughout Scripture, God shepherding Israel. We see Jesus in the New Testament as the shepherd. We see 1 Peter chapter 5, Jesus is the chief shepherd, and there are under-shepherds called elders who are appointed to care for the church. But here in Jeremiah 30, we find God caring for Israel as a shepherd, and this is looking forward. This is looking forward into the future of the earth from the 5th century in Jeremiah, or actually the 6th century, into the future. This sounds like the Gospel of John and the sheep shepherd metaphor, also 1 Peter 5, as I just mentioned. Now, I'm not sure how in the world people who think that God is Israel, God is done with Israel, justify that opinion from the book of Jeremiah, from any book in the Old Testament for that matter, or even the book of Romans. I've heard the arguments. I just don't see it. I see God promising an everlasting love, an eternal love to Israel. And God doesn't change his mind and God doesn't lie. So I'm not sure how people reconcile that. But how can you think that the Lord that chose Abraham and promised to make him a great nation, how can you think that the Lord has replaced Israel with the church when we're told in the New Testament that the church has been grafted in to Israel? Well, that's another message for another day. But we do see a glorious connection between Israel and the church in Jeremiah. And you say, is the church in Jeremiah? I believe it is. Jeremiah 31, look at verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. And the word covenant we could replace with testament. Making a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, that though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This also is found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verses 25 through 37. This is the promise of the new covenant. This is the covenant that we know and enjoy as Christ followers. Why Jeremiah today? Well, days like today are hard for me to think of what to preach on. It's not because I can't think of anything. It's because I can think of 100 things. And I can only pick one. So as I was wrestling through 100 things, Anne shared with me something that she read in her devotions. And it was from Jeremiah chapter 6. And I looked at it and I said, that's perfect for today. So thank you, Anne, for having your devotions and for sharing it with me. The ancient paths. Well, 32 isn't ancient, but we do know. The lakes has a history before lakes. In 1978, there was a church that was started. They bounced around for about 10 years. They finally bought a building a mile up the road. That's where many of you, how many of you were a part of lakes when we were in the building up the road? There's a few of us left. Bill Pullison is our only founding member who was left. For 10 years, there was a church called Grace. They were ready to disband. They were going to sell their building. And Terry McIntosh, the Lord led Terry McIntosh to come back to his hometown to connect with them, to take the building and to start a new church that they called Lakes. Honoring the Lord today requires the same things that it did in Jeremiah's day, in Josiah's day. True worship, obedience, justice. Because we honor the Lord, we don't abuse people. We don't take advantage of them. We love them and we help them. Now turn over some pages to Lamentations chapter 3. Probably 10 or 15 pages or so. Lamentations was also written by the prophet Jeremiah. And in Lamentations 3, there's some familiar verses here. As a matter of fact, my favorite of the old hymns is Great is Thy Faithfulness, and the words to that hymn are taken from Lamentations chapter 3, and look at verse 21. Lamentations 3, verse 21. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's our anniversary. It's cause for us to rejoice in God's goodness. The Lord's goodness, the Lord's faithfulness to us. It is a good time for us. Look at verse 40. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. It is good for us on our anniversary to examine our hearts, to consider our church. Are we being what the Lord wants us to be? Therefore, are we doing what the Lord wants us to do? Look at verse 42. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. We need to confess our sin. And verse 41, we need to worship. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. Let's remember, let's look back to our beginning. Let's remember our roots in a church called Grace. But let's consider our path. Let's look back to the ancient path. Let's each one of us examine our hearts, consider our way, recommit ourselves to the Lord, to worshiping and obeying the Lord. And this is fitting every day, not just on anniversary Sunday. And this is fitting every day, not just on a day that we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper, as we are in just a few minutes. But it's good for us to look back. But as Rhoda said, you can never get anywhere by looking in the rearview mirror. So we take a day and we look back. We remember God's goodness. The babies that have been born, the members that have joined, the people who've been saved and baptized, and even the saints who have gone to be with the Lord. We look back and remember, and we rejoice in God's faithfulness and His goodness to us.